Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, observing the American economy up close because the Federal Reserve meeting in Washington for 2 days, with Mr. Powell, the chairman, making an announcement at the end of the second day, has melodrama attached to it. I'll promote it because we have not one but two governors in question in the news headlines. One, Cook, about conduct, about decisions, about refusal to leave the board at the direction of the president. And two, a young man who's joined from the chairman as chairman of the economic advisors at the White House, so an intimate member of the White House's staff, who will retain that job while he sits in as a voting member of the seven-member Federal Reserve Board in these next days. We'll leave his office next week. So we have the White House at the table. We have someone defying the White House at the table. And at the head of the table, Chairman Powell. I do not believe he has his construction helmet on, but he might well, because things are falling everywhere. Liz, a very good evening to you. The Federal Reserve is not supposed to be colorful, but how can I help myself? It's too dramatic at this point. What do we expect? What does the street expect to happen in these next 48 hours? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Well, I think the street is pretty much certain that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates by 25 basis points. If they don't, look out below, because that is baked into the cake. In the last couple of weeks, particularly after the pretty poor jobs number for the last month of only 22,000 jobs, as you may recall, I think expectations rose that you might see a 50 basis point cut. But today, the stock market is selling off a little bit. Because I think we've had enough good data, most recently a pretty strong retail sales number, which kind of clouds the whole idea that the economy is in a slowdown. There's a lot of chatter about the poor hiring numbers reflecting instead a pause. The companies haven't been laying off workers, but they're not hiring aggressively because they really don't know what the tariff program is still. An awful lot of countries, after all, that we do business with have not had tariffs yet etched in stone, China being the most obvious and most difficult of those. And also, I think a lot of companies are spending very heavily on AI, and they're not quite sure what that means for their employment needs. But on the other hand, the Bank of America reported today that, yes, in looking at small businesses, which is where some of the softness has been, hiring is definitely weaker, but it's up in some sectors and down in others. So in other words, they are reporting today that small business profitability is a little better than expected. Profits are increasing for small businesses where many people thought they were decreasing. And so maybe, you know, again, this temporary, this hiring weakness is a pause and not the cusp of a real downturn and a real big spike in unemployment. So the Fed comes to this meeting looking at a softening jobs market, still higher than desirable inflation numbers, which we've also seen recently. But I think that the odds certainly favor them cutting rates. And if not, I think Jay Powell is going to be out of a job, frankly. I think the president has been holding off firing him, knowing that Wall Street would be very shaken by that development. On the other hand, Jay Powell really does appear too late, according to many people, and that that he really should have been cutting rates for several months now. The big issue, really, John, is home buying. and the real estate industry, which is, I don't know, 10 to 15% of the economy, depending on the year. And the truth is mortgage rates are simply too high. Excuse me. The housing is unaffordable, worst affordability in our lifetime, probably. And I just think that's such a compelling reason why rates have to come down.
I want to go to Wall Street watching this, because we know that possibility of three cuts was raised some over the last weeks. The retail number doesn't look by itself to dissuade that opinion. However, what is it that Wall Street sees about the immediate economy over the next 6 to 9 months? Because of the rallying that has happened recently, you would say it's extremely positive. Is that accurate?
It is. But again, I think Wall Street is really much looking at the hiring numbers. We've had some firms report that firings are up substantially over last year. It's mixed. And I think what we'll hear from Jay Powell is, yes, a month of bad hiring suggests that we need to lower rates, but that the economic data that's coming in is not convincing. So I think he's going to leave the door open to future rates, but not be very determinative. My guess is Wall Street will sell off a little bit on that. That's pure speculation. I have no idea. But I think people are optimistic that we've sort of turned the corner. We're in a weaker or declining interest rate environment. And anything Jay Powell says that contradicts that is going to be taken as a negative.
I want to connect this to anecdotes, because I had an opportunity to talk to workmen in the area of rural Connecticut, plumbers, painters, contractors coming and going all the way, and their friends. Very positive reports, Liz. Very positive. Filled work orders filled through the fall, as opposed to what it was 4 or 5 months ago when the tariff story first started to bite into the economy. Are we looking at panic that is easing? Is that what's happening?
I think you have a two-tier economy. People have talked about this during Joe Biden's presidency, and I think we're going to hear more about that going forward. Why? Because the stock market is at record highs, John, and that does fuel high-end consumer spending. I think that's where the strength in the economy is right now. There is that wealth effect. Remember, that took Biden's term, too, when stock markets rallied after COVID. Even though everything else looked like it was shattered, people began to feel wealthy and they began to spend again. And I think that is what you're hearing in a fairly affluent part of Connecticut. And I think that's what we see also in the national data.
That is not a small amount of the economy, however.
No. Wealthy, the truth is wealthy Americans earn a majority of the income and they spend a majority of the spending. But there is, you know, there are some weaker signs, things like an awful lot of car loans are underwater right now. And that happened again during Joe Biden's presidency. That seems like a pretty good indicator of hard times sort of for lower income Americans. People are falling behind on their car loans. I think we're seeing that again. And I suspect that the employment outlook is also less good for lower-income Americans. Now, offsetting that maybe is the fact that you've had a lot of people in the country illegally leave, which has probably opened up a lot of opportunity for people still in the country who are minimum wage earners, et cetera. We don't really have very good data on that. But again, I think this is influencing spending on the low end and also on the high end.
I want to go to the high end. FT reporting. Donald Trump tilts balance of power from investors to CEOs. President's call to scrap quarterly reports comes as SEC considers curbing shareholder lawsuits. What does this all interpret to if you don't write the headline in London, but write it in New York? That we don't have to fuss every 3 months about how the future is cloudy or clear. Every 6 months is adequate. What do you make of this proposal, Liz?
I think it's an interesting idea. I'm not sure investors are going to be terribly happy about this because they live and die on these 3-month updates. And 6 months is a long time to wonder how your company, how your investor investment is doing. But if you did change the reporting practices, it doesn't mean that a CEO can't make a statement every 3 months or every 6 weeks or whatever he chooses to do to tell people what orders look like, what backlogs look like, what pricing is doing, et cetera. I think President Trump's rationale for this is completely 100% right. Short-termism is something that I and others have written about, have decried literally for decades. Companies jimmy their numbers, they delay investments, they do all kinds of jumping through hoops so as not to disturb a three-month reporting period, and that's ridiculous. I mean, President Trump is saying, yeah, the Chinese think in decades and centuries, and we're thinking in quarters, and he's right. I don't know that the change would really inspire a particularly different and longer-term prospect for companies, for CEOs running companies, but I think it just, I think it gets rid of a lot of the noise and a lot of unnecessary adjustments, if you will, or short-term planning that really is not always necessarily in the best interest of shareholders. By the way, that's why an awful lot of companies have gone private. There are far fewer publicly owned companies than there used to be. And in part, it's because there's a realization that if you're a private equity company and you own a company and you're making investments, you don't care what the next, I mean, if it takes 3 years for that investment to pay off, you don't care because you don't have shareholders looking over your shoulder, ditching your stock or dumping your stock because they don't like the numbers they see. You're making those investments on a much longer term prospect because you think it's the right thing for the company overall. I think that's a very powerful argument. I don't know if, frankly, changing the reporting from 3 months to 6 months would inspire a whole new kind of timetable for how you expect investments to pay off. I don't know about that, but I do think it's sort of a move in the right direction.
In addition, Financial Times writes, in a little noticed announcement last week, the Securities and Exchange Commission said it would consider ways for companies to limit the risk of shareholder lawsuits, paving the way for disputes to be heard privately rather than in the spotlight of the court system. What a good idea that is, Liz. We both know that you can threaten or sue somebody not to win in the court, but to exhaust them and drain them and force them to settle because of the costs of a law firm. And so this is another practical idea. The puzzle to me is why it's been years in being implemented. What was going on with the SEC for the Obama and Biden administration? Was it understood as doing a worthy work, or was it a pest?
Well, I think under Gary Gensler, I think the jury is definitely in that it was a tremendous pest, and that it was the weight of rulemaking and decision making was certainly in the court of the shareholder and not the company. And I think what you're seeing is a balancing out of that, a writing of that in equality, if you will. Any company can be threatened with a lawsuit. I mean, I know of companies, I'm sure you do too, which have buckled and paid off people just to avoid an unseemly and embarrassing lawsuit. And oftentimes it's wrong. I mean, that they're basically paying off people who do not deserve it. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty, having some sort of, arbitration opportunity or something of that sort instead that reduces that risk. Yes, I think that's a very good idea.
Elizabeth Peake for The Hill, a column for Fox News, a column much on Fox Business. We turn to a phenomenon in Europe and in America. In Britain, they call it re-migration. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient unlocked. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.